first session, and I wanted to give you like explain a bit more, give an overview of the fields, right, for those learning. So I'm Nick Vidal. I'm part of the NRX community manager at NRX. It's part of the Confidential Computing Consortium. It's an open source project. I'm also serving as the chair of the Outreach Committee from the Confidential Computing Consortium, and it's a pleasure to be here. So let's start out with talking about the states of data protection. This is very basic. I mean, everybody knows about protecting arrests, protecting data arrests, protecting data in transit, but now protecting in use, this is something that is relatively new. So what exactly is protecting data arrest? When you have your hard drive encrypted, your laptop, you're traveling, you get lost, that data is safe as long as your hard drive is encrypted and nobody can get in there. In transit, when you open up your browser and you just type HTTPS and you access some website, the data that's flowing between your browser and the server, if that's using HTTPS, that's encrypted, and nobody can tamper into that data. That's secure. However, there's a third way that the data can also be accessible, and that's directly on the CPU. This is something that people mostly are not aware of. Developers, even security professionals, and they are not aware that when you have some type of application or data running at the CPU in memory, if for some reason that system is compromised, somebody can get access to that data. Let's suppose that there's an exploit, somebody gains root access, they'll be able to see what's in memory. And confidential computing allows you to encrypt data while in use, while in the CPU. Even if somebody breaks down, even if somebody gains access, roots access to that system, they won't have access to that data, because it's just like the hard drive example. It's just like the data in transit example. So confidential computing protects data and the codes, both confidentiality and integrity. So confidentiality means you can not actually read what the data, and integrity, you cannot mess up tamper with that data or with that codes. So for confidential computing to achieve confidential computing, you have to at least provide data confidentiality, data integrity, and codes integrity. How about codes confidentiality? As part of the Confidential Computing Consortium's definition of confidential computing, that's not necessary, but some projects like the NRX projects, we provide that, all those protections. So this is the definition, the official definition by the Confidential Computing Consortium. Confidential computing protects data in use by performing computation in a hardware-based, attested, trusted, manage sensitive and regulated data. I wanted to read that because the CCC worked, a whole bunch of group of people worked together during 1 year to define this definition and another year to add one word, attested. So I wanted to read very clearly to make this definition, so I wouldn't make a mistake, right? I don't want to memorize and forget something. So what's confidential computing? What's the case study? Where can it be used? Actually, it has many uses. Right now, we have some sectors that are very much regulated. They have a lot of sensitive data, and in fact, they cannot use the clouds as of today. They simply can't. Policies won't allow them to benefit from the clouds. So we have, for example, banking, financial services, insurance. Of course, they have a lot of sensitive financial data. We also have healthcare. There's the HIPAA, for example, in the US, it's a regulation regarding healthcare. We have telecom, edge, IoT, governments, a whole bunch of sectors that currently do not use the clouds because they can't, because they have a lot of sensitive data, because it's very much regulated by government policies. So confidential computing will open the clouds, the IoT, the edge, to these sectors. They have a lot of sensitive data. And that's the huge potential of this technology. If we can open up this, the clouds to these sectors, it will grow a lot. That's why one of the reasons why cloud service providers are currently, this year and this past year, they have offered confidential computing, and this is going to grow immensely. So I talked about the Confidential Computing Consortium. We are part of the Linux Foundation. We bring together hardware vendors like Intel, AMD, ARM, NVIDIA, cloud service providers like Azure, Google Clouds, and so many others, startups as well, and software developers. We have a whole bunch of members here. As you can see, all the major players are betting on this because in some ways, this is the future of the cloud in terms of security. And currently we have 7 open source projects. We invite as many open source projects if you are working with computational computing and you have a nice project, we welcome you to the CCC. So I work at the Anarx, but we have Grameen, we have Veracruz, Verizon, a lot of very great technology here, which is fully open source. Now let's step back and look at the Let's Encrypt movement, okay? Not many people are aware of confidential computing and its importance of protecting data while in use. If we go back 10, 15 years ago, that was the same challenge that we had regarding protecting data in transit. People were like, hey, I'm not an e-commerce, I'm not like a bank, or why should I use HTTPS, right? We kind of laugh right now, hey, HTTPS is just the default, right? It's very easy. Why we shouldn't have this as the default? Everyone, from whatever, you have your own blog, it doesn't have any sensitive data, but even so, you're going to use HTTPS because it's easy, it's convenient, and it's just more secure. This same mindset is what we need, and what we need to change for people to start really thinking about data in use, of protecting data in use. And it will make everything so much secure. It doesn't matter if your system gets hacked, if everyone has root access to it. Even so, it's not game over. Your data is still secure. We hear in the news all the time about all the vulnerabilities, and this could have been prevented by using confidential computing. So Let's Encrypt, it was started in 2012 by 4 people, 2 from Mozilla, 1 from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and from the University of Michigan. It's the world's largest certificate authority. It provides free TLS encryption, and the goal is to really make the web safer using HTTPS. They have a lot of sponsors and partners. As I mentioned, they're part of the Linux Foundation. The Linux Foundation helps them, is a partner. also the Mozilla Foundation, EFF. There's a whole group of people that see the importance of having HTTPS by default today. And what makes it possible is that they have developed software that's very easy to use, that makes it just, it's a very easy process to enable HTTPS. So they have the ACMA protocol, and they have those who have provided, open up search bots. You know what that is? That's the Python application that creates a certificate, right? And on the server side, they have Boulder. And these technologies, this software, and this protocol, they make it really easy to achieve HTTPS by default. So I'm not sure if you can see really well here. The contrast is not really good. But you can see the growth here. So this is the...
quite well on the screen if you happen to have a device.
Yeah. So this is the start of the project. I can't actually see the years here. But but as you can see, it's growing, right? It has grown a lot. Especially here, I'm not sure what happened here, but this is the how many certificates they have given, right?
And
yeah, and so it's very successful. Let's Encrypt is one of the most successful achievements to help secure the web. And how did they accomplish this? What can the confidential computing community learn from the Let's Encrypt movements? So here are some key ideas that I thought about, but you can also explore this, and this can be an open discussion as well. So first of all, make a campaign that bring this awareness around the importance of encrypting data while in use. The same way that Let's Encrypt did this for data in transit. For us, HTTPS is just the default way. We can't think of any other way of doing this. Why would we use HTTP only, right? Even for a blog or whatever. It just makes sense. So adoption by TEs, by cloud service providers, this is happening right now. So all the major cloud service providers are really making this available, generally available, and they're a bit expensive right now, but they should become more affordable in the future. Of course, all the hardware developers, they have made the technologies available. So Intel, ARM is still going to release this, but you have AMD as well. They have invested a lot, sometimes even a decade, right, in terms of Intel SGX. We have to develop software that makes it really easy to deploy computational computing. So one of the projects is Anarx. We make it really easy. We use WebAssembly to allow developers to deploy applications, and it's really nice if you want to check that out. We have to abstract the complexities. Computational computing is really complex. You have to know about encryption. You have to learn about attestation, about the different models that exist to achieve computational computing. And the software has to abstract all those complexities if it wants to gain market share, right? It has to be CSP neutral. It has to be hardware neutral. Preferably, the developer doesn't have to know if his application is going to run on AMD or Intel or whatever. It just should work. He's going to deploy this application, and it will just, confidential computing will just, everything will be encrypted, and he doesn't have to care about attestation or whatever. It just works, just like Let's Encrypt. Promotes open source software. I believe open source plays a very important role here, and the Confidential Computing Consortium has this as part of its mission to promote open source software. That's why we adopted seven open source projects here. We have to make it affordable. And right now it's very niche, but we have to see that maybe in 5 years, this is just going to be the default way, right? And maybe eventually it might even be free. So we want to commoditize computational computing at some point, right? To make this a reality by default. And so with that, I would like to thank you for hearing me. You can get in touch with us at the Computational Computing Consortium using this email. And I invite you to join our tech meetings. It happens every other week. And also our outreach meetings. If you want to really learn or share your ideas, your technical ideas, I recommend joining the tech committee and outreach if you want to expand this idea and promote it. So thank you very much, and that's it. Do we have some time for questions?
Yes, we have. All right. The first block is a little bit cramped, so there's a little bit less time for questions in the first block. But feel free to ask some, and I think you're also around for the rest of the day to answer
questions.
Of course, yeah. Go ahead. So with TLS, I have the feeling that the infrastructure was already there. It was just a problem of it was too complicated. Mm-hmm. And with confidential computing, as a developer, I don't really even know where to start. Like,
the infrastructure is coming. Mm-hmm. The CSPs, they're really adopting computational computing. We had heard some announcements, especially last year, of making this technology generally available. But really, the prices need to drop. It must make it really easy for people to adapt this.
I currently can't use it on my laptop, for example.
Confidential computing is mostly targeted for the server side or the edge or IoT. There are some, the Intel SGX for the PC or for the laptop. In fact, they were kind of degraded. Intel is not supporting this anymore. But yeah, you're right.
Thank you. So one second, where's Andrew, the next speaker, could maybe already set up while we have the next question.
Maybe go ahead, Gerald. Thank you for a very nice talk. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about this definition of confidential computing that the Confidential Computing Consortium had decided on, and you mentioned that it took 1 year to add a test to this definition. So why wasn't that there in the first place?
Yeah, so attestation was not part of the first definition. The reason why is because attestation is really complex and maybe it wasn't given as much importance as before. But once attestation became a really big discussion after, and in fact, they created a special interest group around attestation. And that's when they decided to